Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I'm Ryan. Over there is Maria. And today's show is going to be all about time. So if you guys have watched us in the past, basically, you know the breakdown. We pick a subject or we take a suggestion from you guys. We scour the internet for all the fun stuff that we can find about it. And we bring it to you here. And the fun part is just seeing kind of what Maria came up with and what I came up with. So, Mar, you want to start us off with time? What was your experience?
Well, it was actually very interesting because there are many, many options of how to choose time. You could choose calendar time. You could choose even the Times magazine. I mean, I went all over the place with my interpretation of time. And I love that we each kind of take a different twist and turn. So I want to begin with daylight savings.
Okay.
Daylight savings, according to research, actually has been shown that daylight savings is very dangerous for your health.
Okay.
Reason being is when there is a time change in this report done in 2019, there is a higher risk of heart attacks, interruptions of the circadian rhythm, which is the sleeping rhythm. And in 2020, they discover, or research wrote, that there are more traffic accidents. So be careful with daylight savings.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere that they wanted to actually switch. They were thinking about getting rid of daylight savings and locking into one. But then I read an article that said that they were about to pick the wrong one. So I forget which one of the sides they wanted to be on of daylight savings, making it permanent or omitting it. But they were arguing that the one they wanted to do, excuse me, guys, was actually the wrong one health-wise, time-wise, everything. And then I actually read that they tried it in the 70s and they actually got rid of it, and they were going to sample it for, I think the sample was supposed to be for like 6 months or something like that. And they stopped after like 2 or 3 months because it just wasn't feasible. So it's something they've already tried to get rid of daylight savings and it didn't work. They backed off of it. So I think that's always an interesting ongoing debate.
Well, it seems that in 2023, they're actually going to vote to make a change. So this is actually happening very soon. And what they are thinking about doing is keeping the summer time, So we're going to hop, leap backwards in the fall, forward, and that's it. Like we're not leaping or we're leaping once more. It was a little confusing, the articles I read about it, because I wasn't sure how many times they were leaping.
So, yeah, exactly.
But it seems like by next year in the fall, that may be it.
Maybe. They're talking about voting on it. But again, they tried it in the 70s and then they backed off of it. So it'll be interesting.
And certain states actually do not see daylight savings.
Yeah,
like I was reading somewhere in Arizona that they don't. And Florida is another state that is really considering keeping the same time zone.
Yeah.
Not jumping.
Yeah. You wouldn't think it'd have that big of an influence, but... Okay, so I am going to go to basically exactly to Maria's point. So the word time is actually the most used noun in the English language. I did not know that. So when you pick for your topic for a video, guys, and you're trying to research, and you're like, let's just pick a word or a subject or a noun, and you pick time, you've already dug yourself a little bit of a hole because it is the most used word. And if you have something that's the most used word, it's not because it's one word that gets used many times. It's usually because it has a lot of different uses in different subjects. So like Maria
connotations and
exactly. But I'm gonna double onto that as a fact, since that was like a piece of information and a fact. But basically the North Pole has no set time. So if you guys think of the globe and where all the latitude, longitude lines and everything come together, up at the North Pole is where all the lines come together. So they're at one time in all the time zones and essentially in none of the time zones because of their location if you're at the exact North Pole.
So they're like a Schrodinger time zone. It's there, but it's not there. If you ever watched The Big Bang Theory, then you...
But you can see it, so I don't know if it would work that way, because the theory of Schrodinger is like, it's both because you can't see it, and then once you...
But you can't see the time change, but yet the time is changing. So it doesn't matter. Okay, it's just a peculiar way of seeing it.
Okay, I was more thinking like I can see the pole. Like I don't know if it actually has like the red stripe going around it, but I mean I could physically stand on it. I could see it theoretically, but yeah.
But not time. That's what I was going with.
I got you. Okay. I see you in that one.
So speaking of time, Time magazine in 1999 actually picked as one of the best people, a fictional character. They picked, they honored Pikachu. Pikachu.
Okay. Those Pokemon got pretty popular there for a while. So, I mean, they do that Time Man of the Year, and, like, the computer was one year. And, like, they do pick some, like, odd stuff, I think, just to mix it up because people get a little bored. And they're like, oh, it's a person. Oh, it's this person.
Wait, it's the same person again.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, it's decent marketing. All right, let's see. All right, so my favorite peanut butter on the planet. I'm going to go back to the video we did when we... Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Maria. I guess it's not my favorite on the planet, but, like, snack-wise, like, boom, quick, easy. Go ahead, take a guess. Jiffy,
the chunky one.
Yes, exactly. But Jiffy is actually... It's actually a unit of time. And it actually used to... It was created in the 1800s. Thieves used to use it. It was a slang word for, like, lightning fast. But now it actually means 1/100th of a second. And there's a lot of variations in this. So Jiffy, actually, depending on what science discipline you're in, it actually wasn't a measured piece of time. It usually was an action. So how long it took for this to this or that for that. So for the longest time, a Jiffy in computer science was different amount of time than a Jiffy in physics and in other disciplines. And then it kind of became eventually uniformly known as kind of 1/100th of a second. But wow. A moment. You want to take a guess how long a moment is?
I know the answer, unfortunately.
You do know the answer.
I'm gonna let the public tell us.
So a moment
is a moment of time.
Yes. I don't want to take a full moment. That would be too long. I will give you that.
Yes, please don't. Take like a fifth of a moment.
Yes. Okay. I've given them hopefully a fifth of a moment that they can figure out what the answer is. But a moment
you guys
is
can figure
actually
it out.
A time equivalent of 90 seconds. So if you ever say to somebody, give me a moment, much better than saying, give me a second. Because it's like, okay, there's your second. Let's go. No, give me a moment. And then they got to give you 90 of those seconds. It's a much better deal. Especially if you
It definitely is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was in medieval times that they kind of used it.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, it's they knew it then. Like when you were to say a moment, they knew it was a minute and a half then. Now we just kind of casually use it in conversation, but that is.
And I love it because a minute and a half is a hefty amount of time, but it's not too much. It's one of those like, not too much, but not too little is like perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So the give me a moment. That's, yeah.
Well, speaking of moments, there are many countries that are very expansive and therefore they have many time zones. Like you were talking about the pole having many time zones. Well, we have countries with humongous amount of time zones. China, Russia, and France being the countries with the most time zones, up to 12 time zones.
Okay. I read Russia, but I actually read that China's all one time zone.
So it expands. Expands over six time zones.
Yeah, but for them, it's one time zone. Even if you were to go just into the country below them or above them, yeah, the time zones would change.
Yeah. So that was the most unique thing. It's such a large country, one time zone, but then you have France and Russia, 11 and 12 time zones.
And then I have to find it. I don't remember the country, but actually, Russia isn't the country with the most time zones because I think it's the Netherlands, if you account for their overseas territories, because the Netherlands owns Curacao in the Caribbean. So if you account for that, I believe they have 13 time zones. So they are the country that expands over the largest amount of time zones if you consider their territories.
Because France has 12. So Netherlands. Okay. And the UK used to be with the most time zones because the sun never set on...
Yes, on the British Empire. But those days are gone. All right, guys, we've talked a lot about technical time. I'm going to have a little fun here and move over into like stuff that time involves. So I thought this was a really interesting concept. There's a coffee house in Russia, apparently, where the food and drinks are free. And what you pay for is the time that you're there. I thought that would be like an interesting buffet theory for Vegas or something. It's like the buffet's free, guys. As long as you depending on how long you sit there, because that's the thing about a buffet. You're always like, I got this much on my plate. I'm going to fit it. I'm going to make room. I'm going to rest for a half an hour so I can have six more bites and finish my plate, where they could have turned that table over and then somebody else could have been sitting there. So had they charged those people by the time instead of by the actual meal, it might actually be interesting to see how that would work out. But I thought that was a really cool concept. I know you love the marketing stuff. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, marketing. It's actually interesting because now many buffet places do have a time. Like they give you an hour and a half.
They have a time limit, yes.
They have a time limit. And it's exactly for the same reason. You don't want people to sit there for breakfast, have lunch and a snack, and still be there 5 hours later. So I definitely can see charging for a time break. Like, okay, if you stay here for, it's like parking your car. It's almost what it sounds like. They'll give you a standard rate, which will cover the meal and everything. And then if you stay longer, they'll charge you more.
Yeah, where they did.
That's what I would think they would do. That will make more sense.
Yeah. Versus just straight free and then however the time, because then they're cooking your food and they're like, hey, take your time. Don't cook fast. Just chill. Because they're paying.
Exactly.
I'm sure they start paying as soon as the food hits the table or something like that would be the breakdown.
I mean, I will think it will be actually very interesting if they were to do it that way. They have a flat fee. You get your card. So you get like an hour. Like,
yeah.
Chill to eat. But if you pass over an hour, hour and a half, when you stamp your card to leave, then they'll charge you like a parking.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you stay for 2 hours, so you get charged the hour plus.
Yeah. And then everything over is tip instead of profit for the company because you sat in that server's table, so they couldn't turn the table over and get a new set of people, which would be another tip for them. So I always hated the people that would just park it, and you're like, okay, this isn't Europe. Like when I went to Europe, it almost annoyed me because they never came to check on me and they never came to give me my check.
Like, same thing in Colombia.
We're slow and it's like, come on, I'm in a hurry. I want to eat and I want to get out of here. That's just not the way Europe rolls. No. It's like they expect you to just hang out and drink a coffee for a half hour. And okay,
Most buffet actually don't have like a server for your table. They have like an area.
Yeah, exactly. But they still do drinks and stuff. So it's always hard. Do you tip them? Do you not? I want suggestions, those guys. So I'm going to have Maria post a question in the YouTube community tab and in the free section of Patreon. I want you guys to tell us where the best buffet is that you've ever had. That way I can kind of travel around the country or around the world, possibly.
Best time at a buffet. Best time.
That's a whole different story. I'm talking about like best buffet. So you can either go like best food or like best deal. Because I know the Caesars buffet in Vegas is like amazing food, but it's expensive. So there's kind of that two different varieties. So you guys can say also like best deal dash and then tell us where it was. Or best food dash, tell us where you were. I want to know for myself now. All right, I did the coffee house. Mar, you're up.
So I was very surprised when I was looking at time zones and stuff like that, how Pocahontas, when you think of Pocahontas, you think of the world being brand, you know, the Americas being the new world. So it was still very, very wild. And then you have Europe very, you know, refined. And anyway, Pocahontas and Shakespeare, they both lived at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Mine explodes.
I love this. And we talked about this in the ancient Egypt video where they were building the pyramids. And at that same time, there were still woolly mammoths alive on an island. It was kind of the last population. But I love those correlations where you're like, those two things were happening at the same time because you learn them independently. So, yeah, that's fantastic. I love that one. Okay, so we were talking about Europe and how they kind of just casually do everything, especially compared to America where everything's a little faster. So much so that they actually, they have words to describe said activity. So a dringle is defined as to waste time in a lazy manner would be a dringle. And if you're in Italy, it's an assolare, which means to pass time in a meaningless but delightful way. So now that they got words for it. In America, I think it would just be lazy or envious. I'm not sure.
No, I think it will be like chilling or because assolare to me sounds more like you're chilling, like you're taking your time, you're chilling, because the word assolare to me reminds me of the sun, like you're sunbathing, you're relaxing.
Okay.
Just
okay. Gotcha.
Love it. But the gringo, something sounded hilarious.
Well, it's just interesting because they have, like, depending on where you are, you make up words for what you need. And I've joked about this before, but in like England and Britain, they've got like 100 different words for rain because it just rains so frequently. You've got like, where we've got like rain, downpour, drizzle, they've got like 100 words because it's like cloudy drizzle and clear downpour. And
London
like
fog.
Yeah, exactly. Then you factor in fog and all the other like weather, like, yeah.
Phenomenal.
They need it. So they make up the words for it.
So speaking of weather, this is my fact. A long time ago, it was actually illegal to report tornadoes in the weather report. I don't understand why. I thought that was a very peculiar way of doing it. And the word hurricane comes from the Taino Indians in Puerto Rico and the region. Mm-hmm. And huracan actually means evil wind, like evil spirit of the wind.
I wonder if it was illegal because back then they couldn't predict them. So the only time you're talking about is after it's already happened, in which case you're just reporting bad news. I know it's hard for everybody to remember, but if you go back like 40 years, from what I'm told, the news was actually news. Like there was like interesting, like, oh, there's this fun event that happened at the community center and all this stuff. It wasn't all like dire and dark and bad and all these horrible things happened in the world. So I wonder if it may have just been that like 50s shelter everybody, let's not talk about the bad things kind of, because you can't predict it. So the only thing you can talk about is, it destroyed this much stuff or these many people were harmed or there's not much to say about it. It's not like, hey guys, it's coming, get out of the way. That would be a useful piece of information that I don't think they would make illegal, but I'm guessing it was before that. This is me totally speculating, guys. So
it's fun to speculate because it also brings back the perception of that time, of that era.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
So, okay, we talked about this in a video before on the Animal Channel, but I wanted to bring it up here just in case people don't cross over between Undiscovered Worlds and Wild Chats. But
they haven't crossed over yet.
Well, dolphins actually sleep with only half of their brain sleeping at a time. So that way they can actually stay alert and they can actually choose which half of their brain they're going to be using or putting to sleep. And then sharks and stuff actually need to keep swimming in order to stay alive. So they actually have to do the same thing. So there's several animals. There was a third one also. I can't recall what it was.
Ducks and birds. Birds.
Yeah, that sleep with half their brain at a time. So essentially they're always awake and then sometimes half asleep. Which if a human's half asleep.
Literally half asleep.
They just look like a zombie running around the room. And yes.
I'm napping. Throughout this entire conversation, half of my brain is sleeping.
Okay, so we know that Maria found that fact extremely interesting, or she wanted to go for the world record for longest wink. I'm going to believe the second one, longest wink.
Another thing that we talked about that I found fascinating, when you think of time and traveling through time, and the perception of that is that it's actually time traveling is actually every day. We see it every day. Every time we look at a star, every time we look at the sun, we're actually looking at the reflection as long as it takes for the light to travel to Earth. So when you look at the sun, you're actually looking at the sun as it was several minutes ago, 8 minutes ago, not what it is immediately at this particular moment. So to me, that is just like one of those magical moments that we take for granted every day.
Unless there is a technicality to this. If you're looking at the sun through the live video feed from the Parker Solar Probe, which is orbiting the sun, then you're actually looking at the sun as it is like 2 seconds, probably just that there's probably not even that long of a lag between. So if you got a camera there, you can see it in real time. But yes, if you're looking back on previous galaxies and stuff like we do with the new Webb telescope, which those images are absolutely amazing. Yes, you are peering back in time. I thought this one was pretty cool, actually. Blood donors in Sweden are actually sent a text message every time that their blood is used to save somebody's life.
Love it.
Really, really cool.
I actually get call, got a phone call a couple of days ago to go donate blood because they needed my type of blood. So they were actually asking me, hey, please go donate. Okay. I thought it was very interesting.
Okay.
My turn.
That's not a fact. That's a personal.
No, that's not a fact in my life, but it's not a fact. What I love about animals is you think dogs fall and we should, you know, but when they did tricks and they were teaching how fast the dog would learn, they actually found out that pigs could learn in a shorter amount of time the same trick that is taught to a dog.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay. I am going to go to China and actual time travel. So in China, movies involving time travel were actually banned in 2011. And the reason is, and if you guys know anything about the movie industry and stuff, China's very particular about what films it allows to be showed, especially Western films. Most Chinese films, they kind of go through the steps so they know and everything's fine. But Marvel has that problem because you make so much money if you can get into China. It's just a huge revenue source. So if your movie is not approved by China, it really affects your bottom line. But basically the logic was so many of them were becoming just science fiction dramas. There's nothing factual really about it. It just was a means to an end or an entertainment piece. And then they became very abstract. And then the Chinese government or the person in charge of saying the regulators said that they were basically promoting feudalism, superstition, fatalism, and reincarnation, which they don't believe in and they don't want to promote within China. So it kind of more just became a tool. And then the way that tool was used did not represent the things that they wanted to expose their citizens to. And it wasn't actually based on heavy science, but an excuse to comment on current affairs was the quote coming from the minister that outlawed time travel films back in 2011.
But I can see that actually being, it's kind of cool when you watch a film and you get something out of it. Maybe, I'm not saying it has to be 100% perfect, but the concept, scientific concepts could make sense. And to me, that is fascinating when you watch shows and you're like, oh, I see how they united these particular theories to arrive to a conclusion that cannot be tested, but could possibly happen.
Yeah. And I think their argument was even if there's a scientific basis for how you're doing it, that's like 30 seconds of it. And everything that happens after that was, and that's how they judge what movies they allow in China is basically, does it represent things that we want to expose our citizens to or not? Okay, there's aspects we don't agree with, then we won't approve the film is basically how the, you know, for here, they won't tell you why you get your ratings. They'll just tell you your rating. And I think that cut down on, all right, well, if there's this many bad words, it's very discretionary. And then when they give you your rating, they don't tell you why they arrived at that particular rating. They'll tell you why they gave you the higher rating, but they will never tell you how to get the lower rating. So if you're like, oh, I really want this to be rated PG-13, not R, they don't say, well, take out this many bad words or cut this scene. They don't want to tell the creators how to make their movie. They just go, well, we rated it R for extreme violence, for language, like you'll always see that. The breakdown, but they won't tell you how to drop it. So then there's been movies that have edited to try to drop it and then they didn't succeed and because it's arbitrary, which I actually like opposed to, because then that way the person on the rating board can't say, well, I believe it should have 5 less bad words or I believe it should have, you know.
No, but there should be some guidelines because that way people know, because if that guy is happy today, so he'll give you a better rating. And if he was not happy tomorrow, then he's not going to give you a good rating. So there has to be some sort of formula.
The reason they have to keep it arbitrary, though, is because times change. As we know, like it used to be back in the 50s, you couldn't even show a toilet. They had to get approval. I think it was a Leave It to Beaver episode where they were showing them dumping the goldfish that had died. And it was like a heartfelt, like, you know, learning lesson moment. But they needed to show the toilet to do it. And like, well, you could only show the back of the toilet, not the front of the toilet. And a front toilet had never been shown at that point in time on TV. So like times change. So instead of saying these are the rules and then you have to have a vote when you change them, I think that's the rationale. But
okay, that makes sense. All right. So it's very interesting because when we talk about time, there you think every country follows the same calendar. Like for every country, today is X of 2000 and it's always the same, especially for business. You will think it will make sense. Well, not everybody follows that Gregorian calendar. And with some farming and stuff, they may follow a different calendar or for tradition, but there's actually...
All right, everybody. We might have lost Maria. She is frozen on my screen. She was getting a little choppy there, so I'm going to assume that she probably froze on your screen also, guys. If I'm talking over the top of her, I apologize. I'm going to go ahead and keep going here, and if Maria picks back up, then we'll let her jump in with some of her other facts. So I've got medieval peasants actually got more vacation time overall and worked less than modern Americans do. Because the need for agricultural labor in the Middle Ages was actually seasonally dependent. So most of it was crop work. So if you're doing crop work, clearly once the crops are harvested and you can't plant a new crop, then you get time off. So even though peasants and serfs and stuff, we always see them depicted in movies as working really hard. And it seems like it's just like the worst possible lifestyle. We in America actually work much longer with less vacation time than they did back then. And then if we want to go even further back in history, the Incas used to actually measure time by how long it took to cook a potato. I don't know exactly how that works out because depending on how big the fire is, that would vary, and how big the potato is, that would vary. I didn't get a chance to kind of delve further into this. I actually wanted Maria's input on that, but unfortunately we lost her, so we won't be getting that input. and I mentioned it when Maria was talking that Time Magazine picks random people of the years. And when I had mentioned that the computer was actually named the Man of the Year, it was 1982 that Time Magazine had named the computer Man of the Year. And I'm just going to run through all the fun stuff I have, guys, and then we'll see where we end up. So if we're talking about time and then we start talking about black holes, that's where time gets really, really funny, because the closer you approach a black hole, the more time slows down. You get time dilation. Same thing when you're traveling near the speed of light, it becomes interesting also, all those little rules. So basically once you're inside the black hole, time would actually completely stop.
There you are.
Hey, there's Mar. She's joining us. We just talked about the Incas cooking potatoes, and that's how they measured time. We talked about the exact year of the computer being Man of the Year. That was 1982. And then we just finished up with time near black holes and how it slows down. And once you enter the black hole, time would actually theoretically completely stop.
They actually do say that if you're closer to the pyramids or larger structures, that the time actually slows down a little bit. It's like that gravitational force.
Okay.
Is what they say.
Any input on the potato? That's the one I really wanted your feedback. Because I'm like, it would depend on the size of the flame. It would depend on the size of the potato. How do you measure time by how long it cooks? But then I also know that like distances used to get measured by like reindeer pee in certain cultures. So I guess there's
and
some
by tobacco, by how long it took to smoke a tobacco. Yeah. I mean, there are many measures. And even this sounds bizarre, but in Colombia, we cook arepas. Arepas is literally a corn patty that is really thin. And if it's fresh, it takes some time. And if it's frozen, it takes another time. And you actually learn to measure time, how long that's going to take to cook. So you'll go and do something else and come back. And it was part of the fun was to do that. And of course, we have a lot of clocks and watches and timers, so it's easier. But in the olden times, they will kind of just, that potato will take a moment, 90 seconds, or it'll be in a jiff or whatever. So,
okay. All right. You would have had to like drop your potato in a nuclear reactor if it was going to cook in a jiff. That'd be like 1/100th of a second. I don't think I'd want to eat it after that either, but you're right. It is possible. Anything is possible. We also talked about peasants in medieval times, how they actually worked more than the modern Americans do. And mostly of that, because even though in movies we see them depicted as working so hard, it was all farming. So farming is obviously seasonal. So once that crop is picked, then they're kind of done. And now they're on a nice long vacation. And we don't even get that much vacation time these days.
No, we don't.
On to you.
I have one more thing to, I want to finish my concept of the Gregorian time. And I was talking about Afghanistan and Iran. They use the Hirhi. I'm butchering it and I apologize. The Hirhi calendar, and other countries are actually 7 years behind.
Okay.
In their counting. So it's just amazing when you start thinking about, oh, everybody's the same. Well, not really.
No, we talked about that in the Christmas video too, how the Orthodox still use an older calendar. So all their celebrations are built around a different style calendar. And then they actually celebrate Christmas on like December 7th. So yeah, there are different calendars out there and different sets of time. Let's see. Marie, have you ever been to Argentina?
I have not had the pleasure.
So in Argentina, it's considered rude to actually show up to a party on time.
Oh, and yeah.
From what I've heard about Argentina, that totally makes sense because they really take that siesta. They work and then they cut out the middle of the day and then they don't really get started again until like 3 o'clock and then they work late. Like if you're going to go to like to a nightclub or some night event in Argentina, it usually doesn't start until like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. And then they sleep for like 3-4 hours and they go to work. So it really is this like two bulk sections of sleep. It's a really weird way the culture kind of works. And it makes sense to me that you would kind of set a time for your party and then you would, it's not like in the States, it's awkward if you're the first one to show up or be there on time. But in Argentina, it's actually rude. So
I
thought that was
interesting. No, I think in the US, if you say the party's at 6, a lot of people show up at 6 or 5.
Yeah. Well, if it's a
party. It depends also which state you're in.
Good point. Very good point. All my experiences in California where it was like, we said the party was at 9. We didn't think anybody would actually show up at 9. What are you doing here?
Yeah, exactly. No, I have friends who live in other states and they're like, the party's at 6. You better be here at 6.
Okay.
But I do have a couple more things to add. And there is actually a website, which I found to be incredible. So if you're watching a movie and you do not want to miss the important parts of the movie, but you have to make a run, not that you cannot stop it, but hey, you know, they actually have a website called runp.com.
Yes.
They'll tell you where is the best time to go get your snack or do whatever you need to do. So nobody stops the movie.
Oh, I thought it was a website for like how long to run your peas underwater. Like, that's not that. Okay. No. That's a different website, I guess. It's a totally different one. Do you have any more fun ones you want to share more?
Yeah, I was surprised to read. Just one last one. I was surprised to read that in many advertisements, when you look at the watch, they actually have the hands at 10:10.
Mm-hmm. That actually was a different time. I remember I had that fact also. And if you go back to the 50s, it was a different times. And they don't know why it transitioned. So in the 1950s, when you would see an advertisement, the time was actually 8:20. And nobody knows why it went from 8:20 to 10:10. But you'll see that 10:10 now on comics, magazines, advertisements. Like, that's the common setup. But
so it was like this. Now it's more like this.
Yeah, I don't know what the logic was behind it. No, and I couldn't find it either. I was looking for it, but let's see. And since we're talking about lots of forms of media, I'll throw in one more because I thought this was really interesting. If you're using multiple forms of media at the same time, it actually is linked to higher anxiety. So if you're one of the people that likes to listen to something while watching something while working on your computer, having all those different sources of media at the same time can actually heighten your level of anxiety. So if you guys are kind of feeling a little nervous or you're kind of, especially for people that get panic attacks and stuff like that, that might be one of the things you put on your list of things to check. If you're kind of just feeling a little anxious, A, just get away from electronics. That usually helps. But B, just in your day-to-day life, maybe be a little more conscious. Oh yeah, I do like to listen to the radio while watching a YouTube video, while doing work on something, even though it's the same source, if you're taking it in from the same source, it can still do it. So, because you're listening, watching, and reading or typing, and those are kind of it, even though
overwhelming your senses, literally, is what you're doing. And also, you don't focus on something. So, there have been times when I'm cooking while feeding Pepita, while I'm watching TV, and then I don't remember when did I pick up Pepita's bowl? Was it empty? was it because I was thinking about work while I was watching TV, while I was cooking, and I was doing so many things that it was a time where I'm like, what did I do? Did I feed Pepita? I know I did. Yeah. So I had to kind of retrace my steps, and that caused a ton of anxiety.
Yep. I've got a bunch of quizzes, Mar, but let's just get in maybe one before we head out here. And okay. You still have a feed or whatever's going on either side here. Do you have a fun quiz you want to throw out?
We actually talked about it.
We already covered it.
We already uncovered it.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, okay. Since we were talking about TV earlier, this is part of what got me on the conversation. We were talking about Leave It to Beaver in the 50s and stuff like that. As time has passed, rules and stuff on TV have changed. So primetime TV back in the day had a lot of different rules, as we talked about. Like you couldn't show the toilet, and we discussed that. You couldn't show two people in bed either. And the very first couple to be shown in bed on primetime TV, you want to take a guess who the couple was?
I'm going to say Lucy. I'm going to go with Lucy.
Well, you got to give everybody else time to kind of think about what their answer might be.
Sorry, I haven't answered anything.
Okay, all right. So you got to pick whatever area you want, but it was a no-no to show two people in bed.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that a lot of times these roles started to kind of get loosened up. The case was because they were able to show it in a cartoon. So, and it was a primetime cartoon. So you might want to
start the 50s, a primetime cartoon in the 50s.
I'm not going to tell you what era it was in. That's a big part of the question.
I wonder if he's Vilma and the Flintstones.
That's it. Good job. Fred and Wilma Flintstone were the first couple to be shown in bed on primetime TV. And it was actually the first 30-minute cartoon to be aired during primetime also. So it was the first primetime cartoon.
Yabba dabba doo. Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic time because it was all about time. So thank you for spending your time with us. And if you guys have a little bit more time, jump on over to the after show that we always do over on Patreon for our subscribers over there. And we are going to continue the conversation and share a few of the facts that we didn't want to share out here on a public forum. We kind of do that kind of stuff over there. So thank you for joining us, guys. As the little notification said, please click the subscribe button if you guys haven't already. And please go check out Wild Chats if you haven't. If you like animal-based stuff, there's a lot of great stuff over there. We really would appreciate and love having you guys over there also. So you guys have a fantastic rest of your day, rest of your week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.